Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Hello and welcome to the program. This is Roland, and you're tuned in to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. Oh, let's see, to get us oriented a little bit, today is July the 22nd, Thursday, July 22nd, 2010, and it is, at this moment, about 5:45 in the morning. Right now, the weather, probably 75 degrees, little bit of clouds, not many, just a little bit, a little overcast though, but I do see some clouds in the northeastern sky. The wind is still, and it is not dark, but it's not daylight good yet either. It's just getting there. We're at that point of year where, as you get up early, whereas used to be it would be bright daylight, now it's actually a little bit dark. But it's a good day for a run, and I have been struggling a little bit of late. Training's been down to only a couple days a week for a couple of weeks because of my left knee, which continues to bother me. It does feel better, but yesterday it began to bother me a little bit, mostly after I sit for quite a while. But it's still a bit of an issue. But how chi running, I hope that chi running will keep it from getting worse, reoccurring as it gets better, that type of thing. So at this point, the chi running seems to be working with that. But anyway, we want to get started here, and I'll bring you back in just a couple minutes after we get moving. But again, thanks for listening to the podcast. It's great to have you along today. Running for 15 minutes and 45 seconds. For some reason, my watch, the timer's running, but I'm stuck on 8.4 miles, and I know I haven't run 8 miles in 15 minutes. I didn't glance down at it until now, and that's not moving. So I don't know. I'm continuing to have issues with this watch after a year. I'm thinking seriously about investing in something else, even though I hate to put that kind of money out, but I've got some quarters saved up. I may take those and see about getting something else, because I definitely need something at this time. I'm debating on the new Timex, I think it's called Global Trainer, between it and the Garmin Forerunner. What number is it? I want to say 115, but maybe it's 315. I don't remember. It's the most basic Garmin. But both of those each run around $200, and I didn't give that for this. I gave about $120, and it's done me well until recently, like today. I don't know. I just need to be able to set the thing and get out and go, and I know that you feel the same way. So, not sure exactly how far we're going to be running. I know about how long I'm going to run, Lord willing. But we'll just see how that goes. I began running some short, like 5 minutes of tempo this week. Not going to do it today, but I'll probably do it, say, Thursday on Saturday. 5 minutes of tempo just to begin to get my body accustomed to running faster again. Hold on just a minute. You know, okay, now we're back where we need to be. We're at 1.72. So, okay, we're counting, so good. I don't know what was wrong with it. Maybe I had the wrong button showing. It could have been it. Or it hit the wrong button, it was showing a screen I wasn't prepared for, and it sort of got me off track. But as I run the tempo for the half, we'll be building up to, I think it's 3 miles of tempo, and then a mile of recovery, and 3 more miles of tempo. It's either 6 or 8 miles of tempo I hope to be doing as the max leading up to the marathon, excuse me, half marathon. So we're working on that. And again, we'll begin the faster running on Saturday just to get our body accustomed to it. And we'll be, of course, letting you know how that goes. Right now, my left knee is, I can feel a little bit, not that badly. I've got my knee strap on, and I am working diligently at maintaining the chi posture with forward lean and all of that. So hopefully the knee's going to be better. And I'm really hoping that this new running form is going to reap some dramatic benefits. I know my hips don't bother me at all anymore. It's just this knee that was bothering me before I started really getting into trying to change my form a little bit. There's my friend the Doberman. He's in a fenced-in yard. He always barks but never approaches the fence. He's just letting me know that he knows that I'm out here doing his job, which every good dog is going to do anyway. But anyway, this episode, what I want to do is talk about chi running yet again. But instead of just going on and on about the various aspects of it, which I've done, what I want to do is begin with one of the most basic aspects and cover it. And then each week, for a few weeks at least, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, I'd like to cover a different aspect of chi running and let you, hopefully help you to understand a little more about the concept. And then I got a couple of nature stories, as I'll call them, that I need to share with you. I'd like to share with you. Pretty funny and insightful. You can't change an animal's instinct. He is what he is. Reminds me of the old story. You may have heard it. I guess it's more like a proverb where the frog is needing to get across the lake. And the only mode of transportation is a long lake. Very, very wide. It's on the back of a snake. So the frog says, snake says, would you like to ride? The frog says, well, you're a snake. I can't believe I can ride on you. That's too dangerous. And snake said, oh no. He said, get on my back. I'll get you across. And I promise you that I won't eat you in the process. And so the frog finally relents, gets on the snake's back. They get partway across, snake swimming. Snake grabs the frog, begins to consume him. Only part hanging out of his mouth is the frog's head and front legs. And the frog said, wait a minute, you promised me that you would not eat me. And the snake's comment was, well, I know I promised you, but I can't help it, it's just my nature. That story has some funny aspects to it, and it also has some exceptionally profound truth, not just for human beings, or excuse me, for animals, but also for human beings. So, I got a cat who lives by instinct, wanting to raise her owner, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. Pretty funny story, and I got another one related, semi-related to that. I did get a comment from David in the comments section of episode 57 about chi running. where we were just beginning to discuss a little bit. David is a fitness coach and a certified Qi Walker and Qi Runner instructor. His website is Inner Qi Fitness. You can find David's website, E-Qi Fitness, all one word, eqifitness.com. And I also invite David, and I did by return email, to share some further insights into Qi running that I might be able to share with you as listeners. So for the next few weeks, we're going to at least have part of each episode dedicated to more aspects of Qi running, which will be a good time for me to point out that if you have friends who might be interested, tell them to check out the episodes, tune in each week, 7-8 days anyway, 9 days sometimes, and we will be covering a different aspect and posting information at the blog, video, that type of thing. So we're going to talk about Qi today. We're going to talk a little bit about Tigger today. And this is episode 60, Qi Basics, number one. But David, whom I'm just described, said, Roland, nice audio blog. And he told me the author of Qi Running is Danny Dreyer, which I have since discovered, of course. And he introduced me to a video, which I have posted to the blog. And for this episode, in the show notes, and I've also posted his website in this episode and in the show note. Excuse me, in the links, Ventures. But the video, you can go to the blog and click on the link. It's not the video at the top where you see the picture of Danny Dreyer, but it's the link in the links of interest, or links from the show, actually, to watch this video that he's put together. And by the way, I actually found it on YouTube and viewed it before I ever heard from David, and it's very, very good. He basically explains the difference between Qi running versus more traditional approach to running. And even as I speak, I'm still subconsciously and consciously working on leaning and keeping my feet under or behind my hips. But you really have to work at it, but I'm learning it can be done. But anyway, the name of the video, Qi Running Simplified, Efficient and Injury-Free Natural Running Technique, F-R-E-E. And he also gave me his website, which I've already mentioned, E-Qi Fitness. It's also posted in the show notes and links of interest. And he says, happy running. And David, I'm sorry for delaying in the response to you. Sometimes comments are overlooked, whereas an email, I'll typically have it, check it at least every couple days or so. So my apologies, he posted that comment on July 5th, and I just responded yesterday, 21st, but that's why. So if you want to send me a comment, it might be better, if any of you, if you go to 20minuterunner@gmail.com, or just go to the blog and click the email me button. But thanks, David. I appreciate it, and I do invite you to send me any audio or insight that I might be able to share with listeners on the show, especially those that are interested in learning more about Qi running, even though I'm going to try to share what little bit I'm finding out as I'm reading Danny's book and checking out videos and articles online, that type of thing. How to prevent injury to knees and hips, and how to avoid heel strike. This is from Danny Dreyer, author of Qi Running, and the video is posted at this week's blog. And we'll be focusing on Qi Basics over the next several weeks, as I said, one per week. I have had recurring hip injuries, knee injuries, both hips, both knees, and I really believe in this Qi concept because you're allowing your body to move with momentum rather than pushing your body through and then constantly breaking with your heel, which we'll talk about in another episode. But and I believe it results in fewer injuries, as I've read, less resistance in running, and more momentum, as I said, And if it's done correctly, the gravity is going to carry you. But David Dreyer, and again, go to the blog this week to watch the video. He said there are causes of why we put our foot in front of us and land on our heels. And he said we don't need to do that. But there are causes for that. And as we describe this, you'll also come to understand why it causes injuries to run that way and why I am so absolutely excited to perhaps be learning something that's going to allow me to run injury free, hopefully, for a long, long time. And I can tell you, my hips, I have no pain since I've been doing this over the last month or 5 weeks. And hoping the same is going to be true for my left knee, which this doesn't seem aggravated at all. But some causes of landing on your foot, your heel. Running upright demands that your foot land ahead of you. If you're not leaning, as chi posture dictates, then you're standing straight up. Your foot is hitting the ground as you propel forward. You've got to stop that momentum that you just created by pushing. And you have to put your heel down. The only way to move forward is to move forward by pushing with my back leg, landing on my foot in front of you, in front of me or in front of you, and you're putting the brakes on at every step. You're basically starting, stopping. You're pushing with one leg, you're braking with the other, and running up not upright will not prevent that because you're not using forces of nature, albeit gravity. You are pushing with the muscles in your legs, and then you turn around and you brake with the same ones. And so that causes you to land on your heel, which is you're going to discover it's not what's desired. As the road comes up at you, all the forces of that road go into your leg. And your feet. And whatever your weak link is in your body, it's going to tell, it's going to break down eventually. Whether it would be ankles, knees, hips, lower back. For me, it's been the hips and the knees. And I now know there's no question it's because of my running form, the way I've been running. And is this going to correct it overnight? Probably not, because my knee nags me a bit. But it certainly is tolerable and does not really cause any significant pain as I run using this method. Also, it causes a dorsiflex when you run like that, where your heel lands and then the toe comes up again. And you know what I'm talking about. Think about it. You hit with your heel. As soon as your foot goes down, your toe comes back up. It's called a dorsiflex. And when you do that, you're flexing the tibia's anterior muscle. It contracts, then hits again. That's basically the muscle in front of your shin. And you develop shin splints. And so, you can have shin splints, you can have knee pain, hip pain, back pain. All of it related to your running style. Okay, we're going to stop here. Get some water. That water break was timely, as we're about 33 minutes into this. Very, very helpful. The humidity is up, and it has been. Again, we've been in the 90s for several days. They're talking 96 today. Up. Tinkering with 100. I don't think we've officially hit 100 in High Point, but we have hit 99 a couple times. So it's warm, but this morning feels pretty good out here. I tell you, if you can get out of the sun and get back in the 70s, that will benefit you. But anyway, those are the causes of your heel hitting and some of the things that can happen as a result of that. So that's a bad thing. We know that. It's negative. Remember one thing, and this has helped me personally more than any other thing as I'm attempting to run this method. Don't ever, 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 ever step past your hip. When your foot lands, it needs to be under your hip or Danny says even a little bit behind your hip. And we'll talk more about that in just a second, but your foot land underneath you or even behind the center of mass. Now, the natural inclination, if you're standing up straight, I say straight, I mean, you may slouch, but yet your posture be straight. You know what I mean? You're not leaning into the run from the ankles. You're going to have to put that heel down. But when you lean, in that center of mass, which is your hips, basically, your core, when you tilt your pelvis, level it, and you lean from your ankle, and you begin to fall, a controlled fall, and you don't have to lean much, you will notice that it's much easier to allow your feet to land underneath you rather than going out ahead of you, or perhaps even just a hair behind you. Just a shade is certainly tolerable. Your leg goes behind you, and then the foot comes down under the hips and not in front. So the foot comes down in the under your hips and not in front. And I'm consciously working on this even as I'm telling you, so I can give you a live feed, or live, well, recorded, but a live report as I'm speaking, recording this about what I'm doing and how it seems to be affecting me. But your leg goes behind you, your foot mass lands underneath your feet. Okay, I got three strange dogs up here into this little street. They all seem to be running. I don't know if they're leaning as they run, but but they're moving pretty good to get away from me. Fall forward from the ankles and let your legs trail behind you. You might want to stand in the mirror and work on this, but you want to fall forward from the ankles if you can. You want your hips to be under line with your shoulders, to be in line with your feet, basically your ankles, and stand as tall as you can, like there's a string in the back of your head pulling up your neck. Your chin, rather than facing up, should be tucked just a bit with that lean, your arms behind you a bit to control the gravity, the fall of it, the fall rather, as you are leaning forward. And it does work. It does work. As you're doing this, your foot makes a circular path trailing out behind you. It just goes around and around. The leg being behind you, not in front of you. Remember that. And I tell you, that one thing by itself will conserve tons of energy. If you're letting your legs trail behind you and not pushing, but you're running relaxed, but your legs are making a circular motion. It's like a train steam engine would make. Not coming up and down your knees, but they're being moved laterally. And there's no chance that I'm putting the brakes on. Not at all. Your hip is already going, foot rather, is already going rearward. Ooh, I gotta turn around. Your foot is already going rearward. Let your foot go out the back. Your hip going back with your leg. And let your pelvis rotate. I'm gonna try that. That's what he said to do. Let your pelvis rotate. So, you're not waddling, but you're moving a little bit. Your pelvis is moving a little bit with that stride. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's easy. I mean, I've been working on it for months, but that's pretty easy. And it definitely, it does not put pressure on your hips. Doesn't seem to put any on your knees to speak of. I could be wrong. But that's what you want to do. He says, or me, rather, this is Roland speaking, I think of it as being on a treadmill where that belt's moving and you're basically, you're not reaching out on the treadmill as much as you are allowing that treadmill, the track of it, to go under your body, under your feet, and you're landing. And it pulls you think of the ground as that. The ground's going behind you. It's not hitting you in front of you. Your legs are turning, and you're just pulling the road along with you. The road is going out behind you, not in front of you. Your foot's going the direction the road is going, by the way. Make sure your toes are pointed straight. And he does mention that when you do that, and if you are trying to not pronate, try to land a little bit on the outside of your feet, you'll feel those anterior muscles going down the inside of your thigh. You'll feel a little bit of pressure there because they're doing the work of your feet and your arches supported. If you allow your hip to go back and rotate with your foot, it lengthens your stride, and your opposite leg can't go too far forward and will more likely come down beneath you. So that's what we're talking about for today. Actually, what we've talked about. Chi basics. How to keep from landing on your hip. Excuse me, well, you don't want to land on your hip either. How to keep from landing on your ankle. Well, am I awake or what? How to keep from landing on your heel. And the way you do that, to keep from landing on your heel, is keep your feet beneath you, or just a hair behind you. And the only way you can do that is if you lean from the ankles and use those core muscles. So, we're going to throw on some music, and I'll be back in just a minute. Again, thanks for listening. You're listening to episode 60 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Thank you. one other issue I'd like to just clarify relative to what we just spoke about. And Danny talks about this. I don't know if I clearly explained it, but your knees are almost lateral. In other words, they're simply going back and forth. Not so much in a circular motion, but as you lean forward, your feet are making a circular motion. Think of it as a big wheel underneath you. The knees are simply moving the feet as they come down, flat-footed more or less, midsole. And then the knees pick up that foot and it gently flips, coming down, and as it comes down, it's already moving behind you. So instead of pressing all of your energy into moving forward, you're basically just letting your body propel you. With the knees, you don't want them to be coming up very high. And to increase the speed, you're going to increase the lean. It's the main way of doing that, and we'll talk more about that in another episode. Hasty School Road is alive and well this morning. Never seen so many cars and stuff. Okay, I did want to share a couple of funny incidents that happened recently. We have several bird feeders in our yard. And in our side yard, we've got 6. And we just put a new one up in the backyard. Actually, an old one, the one that was at my father's window at the nursing home. When he died, it was there, but we hung it back up recently. And the birds obviously come to the feeders. Well, we've also put the bird food, which is sunflower seed, in a container on the porch. We were buying it at Walmart in 25-pound bags. It would fit in the trash can we had. Well, at least for now, Walmart has stopped selling those size bags. You can only get it in 50. So we left this heavy paper bag out on the porch, closed up. And one morning I get up and I notice it's also right where we put Tigger's food. I notice there's a hole eaten in the bag. And some extra we had in a little container has been knocked over. Part of it's been eaten, evidently. And so I don't know what's going on. And I look out in the yard and the flat feeder has fallen over toward the porch. So I'm thinking a squirrel has discovered this seed and got up on the porch. Something scared him. He climbed up on the rail, jumped on the feeder, and much like tea running does, pushing the motion behind us. That's what he did, and he pushed it over because it was wet. It had rained the night before. Problem solved. So we'll just keep our eyes open. Didn't do anything with the food. It was either the next night or the night later. Two nights later. I don't know, around 8:30, 9 o'clock, we're sitting in the front room and we hear this clatter. So I go and flip on the light switch on the porch, open the wooden door, look out the glassed-in storm door, and I just do see an animal scurrying down the left side of my steps into the driveway and out into the yard, probably in the back where there's some wooded area. And initially I think, wow, that's a cat. But then as I saw the mode that he moved and the way his hips moved, as far as sort of waddled down very quickly but not running, and then I saw the telltale sign of the rings around his tail, what we've been dealing with is a raccoon. And so we put the food downstairs, and at night we were taking up Tigger's dry food because evidently he would eat her food and grab some seed in the process, maybe not in that order. So we put the seed downstairs, moved her food for a couple of nights. Now we're leaving it out. Food's gone next morning. She's always hungry, which maybe she just is, but we've not seen the raccoon anymore. It's pretty funny when I think about it. Technically, we live in the city limits, But we have woods behind our house. Not a lot of woods, but woods. And plenty of area for smaller type animals to live and to hide. Another incident that happened, I opened the door. Today's Thursday, Tuesday morning, and there goes my orphan cat sitting on the porch right at the front door, having consumed about 80% of a cardinal. She had eaten everything but a few of the feathers, and she was working on the head, and there was no flesh left on the head. Now, in the past, I would have gotten upset and run the cat off. But Tigger's fallen on hard times in the past. And as I said earlier, she's just doing what nature requires. Are we feeding her? Yes. She gets a touch of sardines every night, dry food every night, and just a few little treats. Just enough to tell her we love her every night. But she still occasionally, evidently, will eat a bird. Now, we'd seen signs of it in the shrubs and things like that, but it's like she brought it up on the porch feeling very confident that, hey, this is okay. This is where I live. You're my master. This is what I do. So I took the broom and the dustpan and gently swept it up when she was through, and she did eat everything but just a very few feathers and the head of the bird, which was pretty interesting. But that's her nature. I don't believe she kills birds just to kill birds. She kills birds because she's hungry. You and I would do the same if we were a cat. Good morning. So, that's what our cat's been up to. Been a little bit of an adjustment trying to get used to her antics and the animals and some of the things that she's created. Those episodes or situations. But we love her and she's doing well. And I can never get on her for doing that. Because again, it's her nature. And at least I'm not able to change that nature. Same for you and me. Our nature is to be the enemy of God. Scripture says we are enemies with God, but He's reconciled us through His Son. The difference is our nature can be controlled, and being a Wesleyan, I think it can be changed. Not that we never go back and eat birds, as it were, but it becomes a lot easier to not do those things that are good to our nature, but contrary to God's. Okay, I didn't mean to give you a sermonette. I'm sounding like Stephen over at the Devoted Runner, which is fine. It's a great show, great podcast. But anyway, all right, we're going to come back in a little bit and close this out. A couple things very quickly in closing I'll share with you. And again, thanks for being here. I will be right back. We have just crested the big hill, getting ready to stop. Man, it's hot. Still working on my pointers I made today. Oh, man. Bear with me. I'll edit out some of this and get right to the comments, but I am absolutely soaked and winded a bit because the humidity is just so very, very thick. When you leave in the mornings and it's, 75 degrees, sun not up, good as we said earlier, you don't sense how humid it is necessarily. It actually feels a tad cool, not cool like, wow, I need long sleeves, but just, it's morning, and it's nice. But buddy, let me tell you, when that sun starts coming up, I don't care how high it is, or how low it is, as far as the sun, when that sun starts hitting you, even this early, and there's humidity, all of a sudden it's like, man, you can feel it. And I know probably around 6 miles, I started feeling it and really wondered if I was going to be able to complete the run. But I did take water twice, and I did take a gel at 45 minutes. So we got this run in, a very good one, and one I desperately needed. And let me just say, my knee feels good. Hips, I'm going to quit talking about them. I do want to just close with some comments about some things I want you to be aware of. There is the music site that I talked about that Cindy emailed me last week, last episode, episode 59. That music site is now at our links, and it's in this episode, episode 60, in the show notes. And I want to thank Cindy for the updated website information. And that website is, you can go there and check it, but here it is, smokeringdays.com. Check it out. Listen, I encourage you to send me a photograph, or an email, or an audio file. Any of those. Send me a photo of you, whether you're running or not, doesn't matter. I'd rather have you running, but it doesn't have to be. And just send me your name and your town, where you're from. Your name and your town. And if it's a particular race, if you'll note that, we'll include that on the photograph. And if you can go to the blog, you'll see where we post those. So send me a photograph, attach it in an email. While you're at it, send me an email with your race report or questions you'd like me to cover on the show, or questions about me, or just thoughts on this episode or others. Send me an audio file. I'll share it on an upcoming episode, whether it's a race report or, hey, Roland, just wanted to contact you, let you know I enjoy the show, that type of thing. I love to hear from my listeners. I love to hear from my listeners. I love to hear from my listeners. Check out the blog. It has a new look. While you're there, take the survey. All right. Hey. Check out the blog. There's a guy running. New guy, looks like. Somebody's following him in a vehicle. Younger fella. But check out the blog. We've got a new look there, so you might want to check that out. Take the survey, which is on the right-hand side. Everything's on the right now, other than the posts, which are on the left and in the middle. Check out the upcoming races, the links of interest. See photos of listeners, that type of thing. And then share the podcast with your friends. Go to iTunes and give me a review. Please, go to iTunes. Look up 20-Minute Runner. Give me a review. I would appreciate it. Next episode will be chi running and how it controls pronation. Might even lead you to not having to buy more expensive technical shoes. Maybe just cushioned ones or some of these minimalist shoes that are coming out. I know today I wore my Air Pegasus, which are basically cushioned without a lot of support, medial or lateral support, and I feel fine. I believe I can go back to like the Jazz, Saucony's, or others that I've worn in the past as I continue to work on this. So anyway, next episode we'll talk about pronation and how chi running helps control that. Okay, how did we do today? We ran 7.267 miles. Our average speed, 6.3. Average pace, 9.30. Best pace, 7.18. So 9.30 for over 7 miles in this humidity and heat, I'm good with that. Alright, I'm going to go in and get me some Propel, hook up Bodie, take him walking, get back in, do some stretch, and get cleaned up. But I hope this episode has been beneficial and encouraging to you. I want to provide some information when I can. I want to just have a good time, help you pass the time as you run, or some of you I know have told me you listen in the car. Regardless, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. And Lord willing, I'll be back in 7 or 8 days. Have a great week, everybody. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. That wraps up another episode. I'm glad to have you with me. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20runner.blogspot.com. From the blog, you can send me an email. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader. Take the monthly survey, or simply look at photographs of recent races
and peruse the past episodes of the podcast, including being able to listen to those episodes if you'd like. Remember, all of the music used in this episode can be found at the blog. All music is used under Creative Commons license. It's been great having you with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 7 or 8 days. Until then, I hope your running's going well. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.